the series on the Lord's Prayer, but we will go on with prayer next week, and we will look at the parables Jesus is telling afterwards to motivate us to preach, to pray, sorry. He also motivates us to preach, but we're looking at prayer. Just as a reminder of what the Lord's Prayer is, so the disciples realized that Jesus was praying a lot, and they also realized that John and his disciples prayed a lot, and they had a prayer that marked the group, that identifies the group. And so they asked Jesus to give them the same kind of prayer. So Jesus gave them the Lord's Prayer, and it's a prayer for the church, given for the church to pray together, to pray at home. And at the same time, it's a prayer that should teach us how to pray, for what we should pray. And that's what we are looking at. We're looking at the question, how can we pray? How can we develop our prayer life, if we want to say it this way. And so we saw last week that God is a loving Father who adopted us in His family and who cares for us and who wants our best and who is able and powerful to do the things. So we should come boldly to God and ask Him because He wants to help us and He's able to help us. At the same time, we pray for God's glory, that His name be known as the glorious God, as the loving God, as the powerful God, and we pray for His kingdom, that His kingdom come, as in His church, as it started with Jesus coming, and the eternal kingdom when Jesus comes back. So that was what we saw last week. We saw that we should start our prayer with praising God, worshiping God, and praying for God's will and God's coming. And today we will see how Jesus now turns all this to our needs, not to what we want, but to what we need. And we see three needs we should ask for. We should ask for our daily needs that we need every day. We should ask for our forgiveness, and we should ask for our perseverance. So the first thing, we should ask for our daily needs. See, Jesus says, give us each day our daily bread. That means we should not pray for give us as much money as possible and the biggest house we can have. We should ask for our daily bread, for the needs we have every day. So the thing is that we live in a society where we get up and we look at our dresses and clothes at the morning, and we see 15 shirts, 2 suits, 20 jumpers, I don't know what you have in your cupboards, but we have enough to be dressed for 2 weeks. So, and when we look in our fridge, we have enough to eat for 1 week. So we don't suffer any food. So why should we then pray for this? Give us our daily bread. This is not our problem that we need our daily bread. But still, we should pray this because we should keep in our mind that we are dependent on God in everything that we need. And even though we have a job that provides enough money for us so that we can provide for the family and have enough to eat, we're still dependent on God. And this doesn't mean that we say, okay, we're dependent on God, so I sit at home and wait till God gives me my daily bread. I don't know if you come across these examples that are used for this, like George Miller when he had his orphans and he never asked for money and he never asked for help. He just trusted in the Lord. And people often came to me and say, isn't that brilliant? We can trust in the Lord and we wait till the Lord will come. And see, George Miller didn't have anything to eat, and then it rang at the door and there was a basket full of bread for the kids. And that's great. But we should keep in mind that George Miller worked harder than every one of us would ever work. He got up every day at 5 to pray and read his Bible for an hour. Then he worked on his Sunday sermon for an hour. And then he was around the kids till 10 o'clock in the evening, teaching them the Bible, working with them, caring for them, educating them. So he didn't do nothing. He worked and trusted in the Lord. And I think that's the biblical principle. You see, Paul says the laborer deserves his wages. So the biblical principle is work and get paid. Work hard and get paid more. Work bad and you get paid bad. That the biblical principle. And still, we're depending on the Lord because we know that we need the Lord to give us the skills for the work. We need the Lord that He will make us disciplined that the Lord will help us in our daily work so that we can work and get paid. And this depending on the Lord leads us to this thing that we put all our trust in the Lord. Even though we have everything, we still need to trust the Lord. We live in the Western world, especially in Western Europe, I guess, in a society where everything is safe and secure. We have our car insurance, so when anything happens with our car, the insurance covers this. We have the NHS, so if we get ill or if we break our arm, the NHS will cover it. And we have banks who will give us credits if we need money and all this thing. So we're secure from every side. So we don't live in this society where we think, okay, we need something else and that we can trust. Because we put our trust in manly things like NHS or insurances. But what happens when the insurance doesn't pay for the accident and you don't have the money and the bank doesn't give you a credit? Suddenly there's nothing left. But what is left is Christ, is Jesus, in whom we can trust and in whom we should trust. And that's why Jesus said, pray that God gives you your daily bread. See, God cares for you as a loving father. And at one point Jesus takes the picture of the birds on the field. He said, they never sow and they never harvest, but they will always eat. They never have a trouble with this. How much more will God care for you who are his beloved children? And this is how we should come to God. We should come to this loving Father and ask him for our daily needs in the sense that we ask him that he enables us for our daily work, whatever this is, that he will help us with discipline and productivity and with skills that we can care for the ones we should care for, and that we can put our trust in the Lord and say, I don't know what will come tomorrow. I know I have work and I know I have enough to dress, but there might be a big crisis. There might be a bank crash. You will still provide for us. You will still care for us. And that's the way we should come for God. And that keeps us humble before God. That keeps us in the sense that we see that we still come to our loving Father and ask for everything that we need from him. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to come to our loving Father. And we will see next week how Jesus really focused on this. Ask him for everything you need. Not for everything you want, but for everything you need. And you don't have to be afraid to ask him. Just ask him. He will care for you. So Jesus comes from praying for God's glory to our daily needs. And then he goes on to even the greater need we have. Our greatest need is not that we have not enough to eat, or that we're healthy, or that we have enough to put on us. Our greatest need is the forgiveness of our sins. That's why Jesus teaches, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. That's the second point we want to look at. Jesus teaches us to ask for forgiveness. And we saw this morning that's the gospel. To repent and to turn to Jesus and ask for forgiveness and receive forgiveness. So when Jesus teaches us that we pray, forgive us our sin, this teaches us that we ask God to be merciful on us. To not look at us in our sin, so we sin every day, but to look at us in his Son Jesus Christ as the head of the church, as the head of the body that he saved at the cross. And at his sacrifice, it was enough for our sin. And while we're praying this, we can be sure that God will forgive us our sin. You see, when Jesus was hanging at the cross, he cried out, it is finished. He didn't cry out, okay, the start was made, so my disciples now go on. He said, it is finished. The work was completed. Our salvation was accomplished 2,000 years ago at the cross. And if you trust in this work of Jesus Christ at the cross, that he died for your sin that you committed and that you commit every day, and that he died for your sin and that there is nothing now between you and God, if you have this trust, then you can be sure that God forgives you, and you can be sure that God will forgive you till eternity. So we come to God and ask for forgiveness because He is the only one who can forgive us. See, we sinned against God in the first place. When you read Psalm 53, where David is describing his repentance after he did adultery with Bathsheba, he prays, I sinned against you, Lord. That was his first concern, that he sinned against God. So we have to ask God to forgive us our sin. And we come to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness because Jesus already accomplished the forgiveness of sin. Jesus already did what was necessary. He already was a sacrifice that was needed to forgive our sin. And we come to God and ask because there's nothing that we can do to be better before God. See, God is the holy God, the God that is absolutely not like we are. He is so holy that He can't stand the little sin that we commit. He can't stand any sin. And as soon as we sin, something is between God and us. And the Bible tells us that we are sinners, so we will sin. There is nothing that we can do against it. So the only way to come to God is through Christ and trust that Christ's sacrifice was enough. And if we have this trust, God will look at us not as sinner anymore, but as holy ones, as saints, as blameless before Him. But if we come in this trust to God, we can have the assurance that God forgives us, that God already forgave us. And it's interesting that Jesus add this little phrase, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And we should not misunderstand it. We should not think, okay, I forgave my neighbor, so God has to forgive me. We should understand it in the way that God forgave me, and therefore I want to forgive my neighbor. And we add this in this prayer because we know this is really, really hard. So it's easy to ask for forgiveness. I know sometimes it's hard because we're proud and all this kind. But it's easier to ask for forgiveness than to forgive someone. But we want to forgive someone because we realized how great the forgiveness of Jesus was. So we want to forgive our neighbor, and we need God's help to do that. We need God to work in us so that we are able to forgive our neighbor, to forgive the one who sins against us. So Jesus teaches us two things, that we need the forgiveness of God and that we should keep this in mind, and that at the same time that we should forgive our neighbor because of the forgiveness we received, but we need God's help to do so. And from this, Jesus goes on, he goes a step further, he says, don't only pray for your forgiveness for your greatest need, also think ahead. And so he adds, and lead us not into temptation. So we ask God for our daily needs, then we ask God for our greatest need, the forgiveness of sin, and then we ask God that He will perseverance, that He will secure us from temptation. And with this prayer, lead us not into temptation, we confess our weakness to God. We confess that we are not as strong as we wish we are, or as we think we are. See, the Christian life is not marked by being a better person and being the perfect person that never sins again. The Christian life is marked by the fact that you hate yourself more and more because you realize that you sin even more than you ever thought. And you struggle with one sin and you overcome this sin, and in the next moment you realize, oh man, I'm sinning in this area too. And then you struggle with this sin. That's what is the Christian life. It's you see sin and you realize that you sin more and more, but at the same time you hate your sin and you don't want to do the sin, and you feel ashamed about this sin and you feel sorry about this sin, and you come to Christ and ask for forgiveness. See, that's how Luther defines sanctification, our growing as a Christian, our growing towards God, is to realize how great sinner we are and how much we need God's grace, and to grow in this grace and to realize, okay, it's nothing about me. I can't do anything. It's Christ who did everything for me, and I'm so dependent on this work of Christ. And that's why we pray this prayer. We know that it's hard to resist temptation, and we know that we so easily give in into temptation when they come. Just imagine you have an offer at the workplace for a promotion, and this offer sounds brilliant. You get more money out. You don't have to work as long as you're working now, so you have more time for your family. You have more money that you can give to the church. But there's a little downside, you know. You have to do things that are not wrong at this point. You say they're not like against the law, but they at the same time don't seem to be right. So you're in this in between, though. I shouldn't do this, but at the same time, you know, it's not against the law. And you're in this temptation to take this promotion, even though you might know that it is against the law of God, perhaps, or it is against moral standard that the Bible sets. And we pray, God, that He will not lead us in this temptation so that we don't give in, or that if He leads us into this temptation, that He makes us strong enough to resist. See, we pray that God might not tempt us because we know that we are weak. But at the same time, we know from the Bible that God will lead us into temptation. Or with other words, that He will allow temptation coming towards us from the devil, the world, or our flesh. But we pray this prayer that God will lead us not into temptation because we know we are weak. And so we pray this prayer in the sense that we hope that we don't come into temptation, but at the same time that if we come into temptation, that we are strong enough to fight against them. And don't misunderstand me, temptation is not wrong. We live in a world that tempts us a lot. The problem is when we give in, then we start to sin. And the letter of Hebrews tells us that God will never tempt us over our strength, so He will never lead us into temptation that we can't fight against. That's our hope. But so often I was tempted and I gave in and I sinned. So often I did this little lie just to be the hero or something like that. It's so easy to give in. But God still used this temptation to prove us, to let us grow, to let us understand more about His grace and how much we need His grace. See, we live in between these two things, that we hope that God will keep all temptations away from us, and we know at the same time that He won't do that. But we pray that God will make us strong enough to resist. And if we now see this whole prayer, this whole Lord's Prayer that Jesus is teaching us, we see that this is not about us and what we want. And it's not about coming to God and say, I want this and I need this, and you see my colleague at work, he's so annoying, can you please put him away from me, and all that stuff. It's not like this. We're coming to God at the first place because we know He is the great and sovereign God, but at the same time He's a loving Father. And we come to God at the first place to pray for His glory and His kingdom. And then we pray for our needs, not for what we want, but for what we need. That doesn't mean that we can't bring everything before God. But we should think about what we pray. See, our praying culture nowadays, at least what I realized in my age group, is that we just start to speak, and we speak and speak, and there's this and there's this and here and there, and we start to throw everything into heaven. But Jesus really teaches us here to think about what we pray. And if we look at the letter that Paul wrote, the beginnings, mostly a prayer, are well thought through prayers. It's not, I now start to pray. Paul had prayer times, and he thought about what he would pray for. And then he prayed it. And then he wrote it down and sent it to the churches to tell them, here, that's what I'm praying for you. And that's what you should pray for. So when we think about the Lord's Prayer, it's a prayer that teaches us to think about what we pray, to whom we pray, for what we should pray, and what our needs are that we should pray for. And at the same time, what we will see next week, Jesus teaches that we should come to God with boldness and just run to God with everything we think we need and ask Him for. And God will give us all the good gifts we need. He will provide for us. So what I want us to do when we, the next time, go into prayer, that we keep this in mind, that what Jesus teaches us that it's a prayer to our Father, and we can bring everything to Him, but that at the same time we think about what we bring to our Father. So if we have problems with the family, we should bring this to God, of course. But just because we don't like the peanut butter, we shouldn't pray that our mom doesn't buy the peanut butter anymore, for example. See, that's a problem that you can just talk to the one who's buying the peanut butter, for example. See, that's an extreme example, but I think you get what I want to say here. It's about really thinking about what we pray. We should still keep in mind that it's a holy God, that the powerful and mighty God, the creator of the world, we're coming to. At the same time, our Father. But that doesn't mean that we should lose every respect we have before Him. So, let's pray.